Okay, it is November 22nd, 2022 at 5:45, and I would like to call the Kituit Fire District Board of Water Commissioners monthly meeting to order. Commissioner Horsley, Robinson, and Hoppenstead are here, as are our office manager, Jim Nash, and Superintendent Christopher Weiser. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public, I'm assuming not.
Let me check the chat.
Yeah. No chat. No Zoom. No public.
Yeah.
It's okay. I guess they trust us, which is a good thing. I saw all the cars in the parking lot. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Something's going on. We must have lit a fire somewhere, but...
The Masons learned the secret handshake.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to take a look at the prior meeting minutes.
Legal copy anyways, right? You gave him the wrong one.
Yeah.
How they're working for you. Well, actually, the gray and the blue are gone.
It's all right. You carry the legal document. You can't hear anything on those recordings. All right, so we have water quality. There were no total coliform detects for the month of October. We did talk about the inorganics last month, and the arsenic was retested because they didn't, the tested method wasn't, yeah, the cyanide was. It wasn't they did the proper method that DEP wanted them to do, and everything came back fine. No detects and everything was great. I did look a little on barium, just because we were talking about it, going, well, how does it even get there? Apparently, barium is in certain types of rocks, and as the rocks degrade, it comes down into the water, and there's probably about five different kinds of barium. Barium sulfate, barium, you know, different kinds and everything out there, but mostly it comes from rocks. They did say that a tiny bit sometimes is added to fertilizer. So I just see that in one article. I didn't see that in... It is natural in the water, but they did say that sometimes it's added for some reason to fertilizer. Yep. Other than that, we're waiting upon the new, we've had our last quarter sampling done, and we're waiting for a new testing schedule from DEP. Our three-year plan runs out at the end of 2022. The new three-year plan should be up very shortly. Surprised it isn't out yet.
Chris, we were talking earlier about PFAS.
Yep.
You mentioned what the likely schedule for that is.
Yeah, that's what I have to wait on. Right now, we haven't got our testing schedule. We only had it detected at a higher rate in a couple of them. They'll probably have us test those stations. Will be mandated to test. We'll probably test all of them, depending on... you know, what we're doing at the time. I know you guys want to make sure that it hasn't jumped into others, but the state will probably require us to test at least two of the stations. Station 3's never had a detect. They'll probably tell us that we don't have to test that at all. So, yeah, I know, which is weird, but it's
station
one that does.
Station 3's a hero.
I know. If it would pump more than 324 gallons a minute, it would be great.
That one might have missed.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is some.
Yeah, EPA's asked.
Down
to 10. Yeah, we talked about this a little last month. Yeah, that EPA is low, has come out with a standard that is not even detectable by any method out there. They said they'd like to see a 0.001214 or something like that, and we don't. There isn't a machine out there that can test that low
parts
per trillions. Yeah, so it's ridiculous that they're even. They said, why put out something that you can't test to? Now that's why there's more discussion going on, so they're talking about just saying that it's that bad, they think. So it depends what the state's going to adopt. Massachusetts usually follows suit. I'm expecting it to get lowered, but I haven't heard anybody really talk about how low. There is the PFAS-6 is there, and then there's so many other elements to this. There is, and I'm not the greatest at trying to explain this because I'm not as versed up as I should, but there's a thing called UCMR5 out there, which is the other stuff that's not as dangerous as the PFAS-6 that they have out there or the 10s that they make you show. We have been picked to do, when they start doing the testing, as a small system to do that testing too, so that's going to be coming up in the next year that we will be required to do some of that testing also.
What's it called?
UCMR5, yeah. And it's basically, it's the poly stuff. It's been around for a while, and the larger systems have to do it.
No, you say we've been picked.
Oh, randomly, because
by whom?
DEP.
DEP, okay.
Yeah.
So
that goes out there and takes like
we test for this thing. Are they going to help us pay for it?
That's a good question. I called up someone. I said, "Listen, I got a seminar. I'm going to have to take it a little bit on this and everything. And I'm wondering why I got this paperwork for me to set up the account." And they said, "Well, that means you've been picked." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, the lottery!" So as that comes up, I'll let you know a little more on it. But it does have, it's in the same family of PFAS. It's just they're ugly cousins or something to that effect.
Yeah, one thought I have on this is, I said when we get to talk about source water protection, Tom Camberari a little
yep.
bit later, he's pretty up on this stuff.
Yep.
I'm thinking if we get him scheduled for a first quarter 23 meeting, maybe he can brief us on this also.
Yeah, I tried to get him here this today. Thanksgiving and everything else. Yeah.
I know he's working with
Yeah. As far as unregulated contaminant.
Oh, CEC. Contaminants of emergent concern.
Yes, yeah. I can get you the actual name part and everything else and give you. I can probably look it up right now on my phone and tell you probably on it. Yeah. Emerging compounds.
Unregulated
contaminants of emerging concern.
Monitoring rule. Yeah, unregulated contaminant monitoring rule. Monitoring.
Monitoring.
Yeah.
The towns of Truro and Wellfleet have been testing private wells because most of their wells are private wells. They're finding a lot of it in certain private wells. They're trying to understand how one could be so much higher than the other. Maybe there was a fire there or something like that. I think the one thing I saw was because
private landowner.
Don't come to me for $1,000 a month.
Well, you know, I think I mentioned this in a prior meeting. I did reach out to the fire commissioners to ask about, you know, whether fire is relative to our wells, thinking that might be a correlation. One thing I learned, I think, from the fire chief getting back to us, that we don't use but also except for the high temperature fires. So then I asked, well, what are the high temperature fires? And I think they referred to as primarily vehicle fires.
Vehicle, right? Metal fires. Metals. The old Volkswagen blocks that used to catch on fire, they had to use to put out any kind of metal fire.
So it could be
like
that these fires, you know, Route 28 accident or whatever.
Correct.
Those, I mean, it might be worth continuing to look into a little bit. They never get back to me with the final. We'd be interested to have a map, right, of here's where all the fires are over the last 10 years.
Right.
That data exists.
20 years.
I mean, right, time to travel. So that's
they haven't used it in probably, I'd say, a good 8 years.
Well, that's what I was confused about, though, whether they're still using it maybe for the high temperature fires. I'm not sure. No.
They don't use it all. They get rid of all stuff with PFAS.
Okay.
And even this is 2-3 years ago when I was talking about it, it came up. A lot of this started when Barnstable went after Independence Park and the Fire Academy over there because they were fighting with it, and the airport was. So the local department said, don't even pull that stuff out. We're not going to save a car. We're not going to do anything like that until we get stuff that is done. And then I started thinking about how, you know, the 4th of July down here at the school, they're blowing this stuff out, and they used to tell me, oh, look at the foam. And I went to another department. I said, you know how many kids you're trying to kill? And they said, that's actually Dawn dishwashing liquid. They would throw in there, and that's what they were throwing out, he said at the time. He said, so I don't know if originally when they first started this was the greatest thing in the world, but it would have been an awful expensive habit to be throwing out there for a 4th of July celebration or Kids' Day, something like that. So they ended up just saying that they were using soap and water, putting soap inside when they filled it and they blew it out.
Well, the other potential source, and we can confirm this with Camerari, wastewater, and if it's more, because it's, you know, the stuff is everywhere. And once you start getting, I think this is going to ultimately be able to determine the correlation between nitrogen levels and PFAS showing up, and other emerging contaminants. Because, I mean, one of the numbers, look at the chart later, 5 milligrams per liter is kind of considered a guideline. It's half the drinking water standard, but you get 5 milligrams per liter, you get some wastewater in your drinking water. And along with the nitrates comes other stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if you start seeing a correlation between elevated nitrates and you know, CECs in general, the PFAS. So we'll see. It's a big problem. It's a challenging problem.
It is.
A lot of towns are...
It doesn't seem like it's going away.
No.
Put it that way.
That's the whole thing. It doesn't go away.
Yeah. I don't know why they call it the forever chemical.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere. put it this way, I'll be going someplace before it goes anywhere, I think.
What it does in living organisms is it binds to your cell membranes.
Yeah.
So it mimics chloral phosphorus, which is what your cell membrane is made out of. So instead of being made out of phosphorus,
yeah,
it's something we might want to plan for.
You know, everything. Right.
We've got to have probably next month. A month
as
after.
Soon as, yeah, as soon as I hear, yeah.
And we got to do employee evaluations next month.
January, February, yeah. January, yeah. Fun.
Anything else on water quality?
That's what I have.
Oh, well, I did have a conversation with Dan Santos, DPW director for the town, and asked him two specific questions. Number one, we heard from a resident who said she takes a pail to the landfill and fills it up with the road salt from the shed, and uses it in her home. And I said, is that the thing that people do, like they do for the sludge compost in the spring? No. She won't be doing that.
They did for years have a little pile by that back end where you would pick up the mold, right? The sludge compost, and it was a pile, and you could go there and scoop it up. But it wasn't the main piece of garage.
Yeah. Anyway, he said no, there's not supposed to. Anyway, but the more important question is,
supervisor about
Yeah, I'm good, yeah.
Other questions? Water quality?
Ongoing.
Ongoing.
Right.
All right, move to the superintendent's report.
All right, superintendent's report. Pumpage. October 2021, we had pumped 14,568,000 gallons of water. In October 2022, we pumped 10,553,000 gallons of water, for a difference of 4,015,000 gallons of water less. That's probably the least amount of water we've done in, according to this chart, at least 3 years, 4 years that we have. That's the lowest in the last 4 years. So I did a little research. We had 5.74 inches of rain in 2021 in October, and 6.22, so there was only a half inch more rain this year. None of it, I looked at it, there was like 7 to 8 days that it rained actually though in 2021, whereas about 12 to 30, so it might have been out a little more if sprinkler systems were on, but it wasn't real, real warm, but it wasn't real, real cold either. It was a pretty comfortable October, and I still see them out there blowing out sprinkler systems now. I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Well, Chris, you did have the signage out on water restrictions in September into October?
We did, yes.
Yeah.
So yes, we did. We actually didn't pull them till a little while ago. Which was one of the things under my discussion. We are at a level one, which is basically just everybody, you know, be careful out there. And I don't think many people are watering right now, so I didn't really think we had to keep the signs out. So we did pull them in when we got declared down to the drop to one.
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be the fact that we were still in a drought like that, yeah.
Coming out of that drought, we had a little more rain and the signs were out there.
It's a good sign.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. It's nice to see because we need the we need some water in the ground right now, believe me. I mean, yeah. It's not, yeah. No, they haven't, you know, since the last rainstorm, it's been going straight down still. You know, nothing's replenishing at all. Just take a ride by Level Pond. Every night I look over, and the depth that they have over by the landing is about a foot out of the water. And it's been sitting out of the water for the last month almost. So you can't even get a depth of, you know, where it is. Their ruler is sticking out of the ground over there.
November normally is the low month of the year.
Yeah.
So we should see a turnaround.
I'd like to see it. Yeah, I'd love to see it turn around this month. Yeah.
Yep.
And actually, we didn't do any new services, any replacement services, any leaks. It was a pretty quiet month for us. A lot of preventive stuff getting done and everything else up there. That's really all I got on there. I hate to make it so quick and everything, but
nice.
Good news usually.
Chris, I notice some. I drive around the Cape all the time.
Of course.
That's what I do for a living. So I see. I pick up on signs with water departments.
Some of them do flushing in the fall. Is there any advantage or disadvantage?
They probably do both.
Yeah.
If they're flushing in the fall, they do both. We've been able to get along with just doing it in the spring because our flow goes down so much in the winter. So it's usually pretty good if we do it that way. We're not going to waste the water, and you're not worried about things like all of a sudden freezing. Because that's what happens to us, you know, when you get something that's dropped down to 22 degrees the other night. We had been out flushing all day. If that didn't have a chance, if we made any puddles, you'd just put danger out there. And I've always done the pros and cons and said it really doesn't seem to be a reason right now.
The amount that gets flushed doesn't impact these.
It does, yeah. Oh, yeah. When we're pumping, you could see in the spring when we're pumping.
Yeah.
I mean, normally we end up doing between flushing. 400-something thousand gallons of water.
Millions.
Okay.
We're usually about
yeah, so when we flush. So I mean, that's a lot of water to be flushed out to keep for water quality.
Yeah, these numbers of what has come out of the ground.
So,
not through a meter. If they come through the master meter.
Right.
Right.
So for those pumpers, like some of those numbers in the springtime, when they go up fast all of a sudden like that, that's because we're out flushing.
And a lot of it is probably not consumed, or even
no, but
lost to runoff. It's going back into the ground.
Correct. Correct. It's all, I mean, we try to either put it into the woods if we can. We try not to put it down the road, but we do have a big box that goes on the end that baffles it down, and a lot of times that's the best way to do it so you're not ended up making a hole in the middle of somebody's yard. There's not many places you can actually blow it off into the woods. So we try to whenever we can. Other than that, it goes down to the street drains and lets the street drains take care of it, and we test them too.
A lot of the street drains are infiltrating catch basins too, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Get it back into the ground.
Correct. Correct.
Actually, that might be something. I don't know that I've ever seen or Barnesville has a. I think Barnesville does have a storm drain map. That would be good. Interesting to see that.
Yeah, I used to be able to talk to a guy, Brian Celia, over there.
Yeah.
And I tried looking for. I have his email address. I don't have his phone number. I was trying to look for it the other day because I have to. Building a house over on Putnam Ave, and I have to hook up right where that, it's close to where the river runs under, and
yeah.
They just built that whole beautiful, garden off to the side. Yeah, well, the water main's on the other side of that, and I got to get across over to that driveway and over to there, so I don't know if I have to run down the road or if there's a way to get underneath that retention center that they have there and everything. I have to get somebody out there from the town to help me out and look and say, you can actually shoot it underneath the street, you know, here and not hurt anything. But I don't want to undo any work that's been done over there.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. Wow.
Right now at the Lowell Park, they have a ditch wrench, which is sending a cable from the press box out to the brand new scoreboard under the field.
The Bora. That's Eric Drew. He's done that for us. He did the water main down by...
A long way to...
Hey, did you see our hydrant over there helping them out?
No.
We're giving them water. We're not giving them. We're selling them water out of the hydrant in time so that he can actually, that takes water, and that thing can go down and directionally bore anywhere. It's amazing what he can do. And he's only doing a 2-inch line there, but he's done, for us, 10-inch mains, 6-inch mains. He does over McCourt's.
They can go 300 feet.
Oh, they can go, they can go down 16 feet. To do it, he'd rather go down to around 12, 13 feet where he knows there's nothing in the ground and go clean and keep on going. And you say, no, you can't do that with a water main. If it leaks, I'm not going down 12 feet to get to it. You know, there's a couple of them where you have to go that deep to get under culverts, and that's when we use them a lot, so that he can start out and go underneath culverts and back up to the grade again. Yeah, because somebody bought it and they're going to be building over there.
So that lot was attached to that house that sold a couple of years ago.
They must have acre zoned it or something.
Subdivided.
Yeah. Before they went into the 2-acre zoning, because I don't think there's 2 acres there. That completes me.
Excellent.
Jim Gould told me in the old days, guys were digging ditches, they put a bottle of rum at the end of the keto, and they dig up to the bottle and then they kind of
spit. That's how they did it.
Incentive theory.
Dig
ditches. The ditches over at Eagle Pond. They didn't have ditch witches back then.
No.
Rum. Shovel. Any questions? Old business. We had the source water protection as well as the test monitoring wells, which are kind of a couple.
I can give a brief update on that. Speaking of Tom briefly.
Yeah, it was a little important.
We heard last time that
sole source.
We didn't make the cut for the ARPA.
We didn't make the ARPA last time.
Yeah.
Fortunately, not sure they understood.
They had way too many
proposals.
Yeah.
But Tom's put together this map and table of available wells to do the water table mapping, which
maybe we should have him come to a future meeting to discuss this before we jump off the cliff here. Because I think the next step is putting the wells in, adding some additional wells, right?
Correct. Right now, he had sent me an email yesterday and asked me if I could get the guys out to look at the old original wells that we had at the main pumping station, at the main office. We have five, they used to be five 100 gallon a minute wells out there. They're green, they stick up. They're all right there. You can see them if you walk down through the woods. Last time I went to open one, I remember snapping off the 6-inch nipple that was on top of it, and they used that to see if there was water in there. I don't know what the depths are, but I'm sure we can get in there and do it. It's just a matter of he wants to add those also to this list, because right now he has 19 that he can actually test. He's checked how much water's in there. He's got the depths of them now, what's accessible, what isn't. After that, he says he wants to see if he can put in a few point drills just at certain areas. Yeah. He can get a better idea of exactly where he needs to. We have a couple benchmarks at the office, one on the culvert out front, one on the doorstep. So he wants to get some other benchmarks around so he can get elevations around there also, get a surveyor. And he didn't know if anybody knew of any surveyors that might do the deal or anything out there. Or he said anybody that had equipment that he could lend. He said, not too hot. He thinks he can figure out how to do it. So I told him, I said, I didn't know anybody at the time or anything like that. And I said, I didn't know anybody that would lend out their equipment, that's for sure. So he was going to look into that about getting a surveyor out and get everything surveyed. And at that point, he was talking about putting in the wells, which I believe are the plastic ones like down at Little River.
I think
so. Down there, yeah.
So is that what he's calling the drive points?
Yes. I think that's what he's calling the drive points, the little inch and a half.
He wants 10 drive points.
Yeah, I can give him reports. We get it tested every 6 months at a couple wells in between.
Yeah.
We do have reports on those. If he wants to glance through them, I got them all on file.
Yeah, I don't know. My thought was, again, the original goal here was we flagged these wells that looked like they might be getting up close to the 5 milligram per liter kind of guidelines, and these are the two wells that look like they might be on their way.
Okay.
So I just thought, at least discussion purposes, we should get Tom to think about well five in addition before we make decisions. But in either case, I agree, it would be good to probably get him scheduled for a meeting in the winter, first quarter of 23, to talk about this.
Why not December, though?
Well, we could do that if he's available. I don't know if he's ready to do that, but yeah, sure. Reach out to him and see if he's available, but I think that my feeling would be to get him in for a discussion of all this. So if he's available in December or January, that'd be fine. He's at a point where he's willing to, or available. I feel like he's done the homework on the existing one.
wells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First step.
Yeah, that was the first step.
And then
yeah.
he's kind of
yep.
waiting for us to tell him what to do
yeah.
for phase two. Which
yeah, we got five more to look at. Yeah, five more to look at, and then he was going to go from there. If you're going to introduce station five, then that's going to be another couple, you know, a day of going down there. I know where the test well that we have in. We have a shallow and a deep over there, but I have the reports on those from every six
yeah.
months now.
Well,
I don't know if he wants them just to monitor them while things are going on, but, yeah.
I mean, this is a new, well five was not part of the original scope, so
correct.
It was just my thought when I started looking at what Tom was doing. I went back and looked at the student report. I'd be interested to hear what the other commissioners think about that, whether we should be thinking about, you know, a little work on well five as well, because this is a little bit of a shift in focus for him.
It is above three now, right?
Yeah, they both look like they're getting close. They're just above three, right? Looks to me like it has a little bit more of an upward trend than the
trend is.
I'm not sure why that is.
Should we maybe use the main well field as a guinea pig?
Yeah, I guess.
So, yeah, because that was kind of
where
we wanted
to
link with the septic system upgrades as well. This is kind of, I don't know if it's all out there, but it is close to a treatment.
Well, like,
you know, shift gears
that
right
treatment
now.
Plant was supposed to be sited outside of Zone 2. Supposed to be.
Right.
Maybe it was entirely.
Sometimes people get the, you know, the flows wrong.
Yeah, right. I mean, something is clearly going on in Well 5. But I don't want to get them. Why don't we just focus on the main well field first?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Even if well 5 is more critical, I think it's got more bang for the buck doing the main well field.
Yep.
See how this all works out.
Okay.
And then we can apply it to the project later based on the success.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, and in the meantime, what's the name of the development over there?
Stratford Ponds. They have a treatment plant,
well,
but I get the results from their treatment plant. And so is in Trap Pond, supposedly outside. They moved it. They used to be in the zone 2, and they had to, you know, have different supplies. But, and now I get there, and years ago I had a gentleman come out and review their reports back.
Was it Gary Henson?
It wasn't Gary. It was anyways, he came down and gave him all the reports we had, and I do have their reports for the last year or two. It might be time to have everybody look at that a little more. All the summaries and everything else have said, you know, everything's below the limits they should be. So, I mean, it might be worth calling up somebody and having them update.
Yeah, and there might be more sources. As you can see, look at the map. It's a big white area on the upper left there. We don't have any. I mean, there was probably more septic systems in there beyond the wastewater plant. Maybe we haven't, frankly. That's something we didn't look at as part of the student project.
Yeah, what's there and what isn't.
So maybe we just need to take a look at.
Yeah.
But I agree with Mark. I don't want to get off track from what we're doing before. This is really in addition to. I think we should keep our eye on what's going on at Well 5.
Yeah, let's keep focused on.
Okay.
On
yeah.
Wells 1, 2, 4.
Yep.
And you can reach out to the Stratford Ponds folks, unfortunately, with still
yep.
monitoring that. Whoever's still monitoring.
Well, they're getting
see if
done.
We can get some
I have the reports already.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of somebody sitting down and writing down and comparing and see if it's a monthly increase or a year. You know, they do a monthly report to get sent to me. We also have 6 months reports for in between. Like I said, right now we have them tested every 6 months over. We have a couple of wells driven in between just to make sure there isn't anything traveling towards us. So yeah,
Chris,
if you want to send that to me, I'd be happy to look at it initially.
Okay. Yeah. If you want, I'll I think I have everything actually electronic.
Okay.
So I could probably send you the last, since they've been giving it to
me. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. That sounds good.
So nice to have commissioners.
Now, Chris, do you remember?
Always had good commissioners. On Tom's contract, and whether or not the next task, which I think was to propose and put in wells, wells, that has already been approved, or I can't remember how that was structured.
I think it had the put in, but I don't think maybe it didn't because he didn't know how much it was going to cost to do it. We were going to have to pay to put them in.
So
he was just giving the information.
Maybe that's the next step.
Yeah.
He needs to put a proposal together for how many wells.
Yeah, I'll take a peek at the proposals he has now.
We can talk.
Yeah,
talk
and let you know exactly what it says. I know that we have received one bill since I've been done at least. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the next step then.
Good.
That takes care of my updates.
And we do know that the offer letter was turned down.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you want to put the CPA funding on there? Do you want to have CPA funding for the area?
Oh, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you. Wow. Keep her coming to these meetings.
Good, that review's coming right up.
So I had a call from Lindsay Council.
Yep.
Town and open space purchases through the Community Preservation Act, and apparently the committee or whatever has identified water supply protection, and he reached out to ask if we had any parcels that we want to nominate for protection purchase. You probably know all about this, no?
Okay. Well.
Well, I mean in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess there's, I don't know what the schedule is, but he wants us to, if we have any nominations or suggestions, probably the town is shuffling the deck on what they want to prioritize.
Okay.
I don't know of any offhand, but...
Well, not in our zones, maybe.
So zone one funding?
Yes. Purchasing land?
Yeah.
So they couldn't use it to help manage the elementary school program?
No, I don't think so. Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a little bit of a twist on CPA.
CPA is going to be conservation.
Is it only zone one or is it zone two?
I think it could be either. They're just asking because CPA is town-wide. They can use it for purchase of land anywhere throughout the town. They're asking about prioritizing for water supply protection.
No, there's just the back ends of properties that aren't built on, you know, and stuff like that that you'd wonder about, you know, putting some kind of easement on all that, or something like getting given a financial sum to.
The Turner property next to 671 that has land in the back.
Yeah, something like that, you know, something.
That is zone one, actually.
It could, touch right up into it, yeah. Right beside 671.
Should I ask him about that? What is the address? 671?
No, it would be 661.
Yeah.
But, Street. The Turner is the name. I don't know. She must be elderly. Her
lived there when I lived two doors down. Every sunset, he'd be in his back stool. Oi, 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 oi. He was calling the cat. The cat would come running out of the woods. It doesn't have any characters anymore.
Oh, it does.
This property here. I don't know. Yeah, somewhere goes way back in the woods.
661.
Maryland Turn.
661, yeah. I mean, there's so many houses there that are almost completely, half of their yard is in the zone one over there. You know, as it extends out, if we actually sat down and looked at it, a couple of the houses that have been rebuilt, even the old superintendent's house, their backyard is part of the zone one, actually touches. And the superintendent before that, Gifford, the Gifford's old house there, their backyard did, you know. So many different. Yeah, all those in the back, everything from the coop and back just about touches right there. I think Coleman's old place was, Dave Coleman's grandmother's place. He said, I can remember sleeping there and hearing the diesel motor kick on in the middle of the night. He said, dang, you fall out of bed every time.
Well, I'll mention this parcel to him.
Yeah.
60, 61.
Well, you know what, actually, I'll take on a
Maryland Turn.
Task of identifying.
Okay. Okay.
Coming up with some acreage. And so what you could do is, I mean, you could offer to buy a conservation restriction on your back land.
Yeah.
Even if they can't develop it, they could still strip it, you know, put in tennis courts and pools.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Something like that. Yeah, something that you'd like to keep it as natural as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe they could put in some kind of blinking light that'll keep the turkeys out of there.
Do they not like blinking
lights? I don't know. That's owls. Owls, if you have a flashing light, you know, the owls don't like it. I just walked around and there was a rabbit standing here, scared me, jumped up on the dirt and ran across in front of me. Speaking of that, I saw one across the street from your house while I was looking at that house at Turner's. In the middle of the day, he started running across the road. I'm like, what are you doing out here now? Yeah.
Leave my rabbits alone.
I
got turkeys there.
You can have the turkeys.
Yeah,
you can have them all.
No, I don't. I let the dog. All right.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anything on the PFAS.
So you're going to look at some property. I'll make a little sketch for us. We can look at it next time.
How quickly does he want nominations or information?
I don't remember.
It's kind of a rolling thing. CPC meets fairly regularly. We only have to take it to town council. Other towns, you have an annual deadline for projects because of town meeting.
Yeah.
So we have flexibility.
Great.
So
anything else on the CPA funding?
No.
PFAS class action suit.
I did send some results to them that we had, all our PFAS results. They updated a little bit. I thought it was a little bit of an exaggeration. I questioned a couple things, but they said the way it's worded, it's still in there. You know, it's the first thing they put out that it's in exceedance of state regulations or as showed above EPA regulations. And I said, can we switch that around? Gone above EPA, not state? I just don't like seeing it saying exceeded state because we haven't.
Yeah.
And they said, no, it's the same thing. Don't worry about it. So you just, okay. I said, whatever. You know, it's fine if you have to and everything. I just had to okay the different wording that they had in there. But with the results, they worded it a little differently and everything else, just to say that it was in these stations and above EPA regulations.
But the state has a set of regulations.
State still has 20 pots.
20.
Pots per trillion.
We're not above.
Right.
So
right.
So they pulled that out.
No, they didn't pull it out because they did an and or afterwards. They said your PFAS, state has exceeded state regulations and or federal suggestions. So yeah, it's just that's what I said. I called that and I said I don't like the way it's written like that. And they said that it's saying the same thing because Yeah, the EPA, they're just making it sound a little worse. We're one of, I'm sure, many, many, many different people out there that have questions. Yep. I'll just update if I hear anything.
Yeah.
Anything comes in, I'll give an update on it in my report.
All right. Affordable access to drinking water.
So I guess that's me. I love it when I have a great idea and then I can have somebody else do all the work for me to develop that idea. So that's what Jen did. But I couldn't have done this without her, and I just wanted you to understand that, because numbers and I don't get along too well, typically. So the idea was simply that I've been kind of inspired by some work elsewhere, people looking at ways to, nationwide, the cost of water is going up, 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 in, you know, particularly in cities. There's a big issue with cities shutting off water for people that don't pay the bills. Got me to thinking that people should have the right to have some water in their house. You need to just drink a certain amount each day as part of your survivability. And, you know, I think that there, and in fact, doing a little research, you'll find that there's lots of information of this idea, this principle, that water is a necessary human right, access to water, clean water, affordable water, for people who otherwise might not have access to it if they can't pay for it. So, you know, we have less of that issue. Do with our lean program, you know, we see several dozen people each year that are obviously either, I don't think they're willfully ignoring their bills. I think some people have to juggle bills and decide which ones to pay any given month. And so I thought that it would be good if we could have just some indication that we understand that people are already paying district tax, a little bit through their meter fee, and certainly for excess water that they're using. We've talked a lot about irrigation, and almost 100 people intuit that, you know, we use over 200,000 gallons a year, which is just, to me, I can't imagine what you do with all that water except throw it on the ground. Anyway, so what we did is looked at the statutory basis. We have the right to set water rates as water commissioners. We know that. By the way, in this Enabling Act of 1935, it says we have the ability to establish fountains. I don't see any fountains in Kentucky. I think it's time we had Chris Wiseman fountain. The kids can play in the fountain.
Keep that on fact for
okay. So, and then Jen did some analysis looking at average use of water, average 70,000 gallons a year, median 52,000. And the EPA has some estimates that 300 gallons of water per day, that's about roughly a three-bedroom house typically.
That's a lot for a three-bedroom house.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 110.
Well, that's the design flow for septic system.
Yeah.
I got some other numbers.
Okay.
But you can.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so we looked at that so people could understand. So what came up with was, let's just keep it simple, stupid, and say that the first 20,000 gallons would be free. take away about $183,000 in revenue, everybody would get their first 20,000 gallons free, as this declaration is of a human right for affordable access to water. And then Jen took that $183,000 that would be so-called lost in revenue, and if we distributed amongst the higher tiers of the rates, which is over 60,000 gallons per year, with 15 to 25% increases in those tiers to make up this loss in revenue, recognizing that the loss in revenue is reflected in the fact that we are now a real source of great revenue for the district, as we've proven the last couple of years, having brought in over $1 million worth of revenues for the district. So I think that this is it's a revenue neutral proposal, in the sense that we're not losing that revenue, we're shifting it. We're shifting it on to people who are using a lot of water, and they're not using it for basic human needs unless they have a household of 30 people. So that's the idea. The actual policy is on the first page. It's recognizing a human right to clean, safe drinking water, which has been recognized elsewhere at different governmental levels, and that we would declare that the minimum volume of water that we call base use, which is 20,000 gallons, shall be provided for free, and that we would offset this loss in revenue with a tier adjustment that's shown on the last page of the policy, that we have the authority to adjust these rates under our charter, that it would take effect in the next fiscal year, and it can be modified again as needs dictate. We should consult with the Prudential Committee, since they need to know what were expectations of revenue from this department. And also the fact that we had adopted a financial hardship policy to address specific instances of people's ability to pay, perhaps above the 20,000 gallon. Minimum. So that's my idea, and I'm hoping that the commissioners will support it.
One thing that in one of the papers I read, what is the downside of doing this? Well, the downside is that very wealthy people are going to get 20,000 gallons of water free, and they could afford it. Well, they're already paying for it in their district tax. If they're really that wealthy,
not too concerned about it being unfair to any particular group. Any type of tax or modification of tax has winners and losers, but in this case, every single account payer would have a small payment.
So, Mr. Chair, I have a number of comments here.
Yes, please.
First of all, I think it's a great idea. 100% support it.
Just stop there.
Because I have some other things to say. So my first one was a question. The district tax, I thought that when our revenues went up over the last couple of years, that displaced the district tax to the point where there was no subsidy of district tax. Is that not true?
That's not true.
So we still, what is roughly the ratio then currently?
So we get, here's a 10%, John? So, in our rate study in 2019, it said that Kituat homeowners pay for 10% of the operating expenses of the water department to provide water supply needed for fire protection through their district tax.
But is that 2019? I thought that the revenues went up sufficiently such that...
We have raised them so much that we are basically self-sufficient right now. And... we are more than self-sufficient, which states by law, right, it says, and I got it here, I think, that we're not supposed to, if there's a surplus, it's supposed to only go to pay water department stuff down a
water department isn't supposed to be supplying money to pay for the fire department, to pay for the street lights out there, to pay for anything else. It's supposed to be paying for the water coming out, the running of the water department, past bills, maybe the tank, stuff like that, and everything else. That's how we can get away with what we're making now, because Ray can say, well, we made an extra $50,000, I'm going to throw $50,000 to try to pay this note off for the water department. So if it works its way out and everything else, but by law, we're not supposed to have a surplus into anything but the water department. So I mean, right now, we're making a surplus. I couldn't tell you where that money goes afterwards. I don't know what goes to paying off water department debt. I don't know what goes off to paying the next fire truck. I don't know what goes, but percentage-wise, we totally make the money over what we have for operating budget, and I would say some of our special appropriations. You know, they don't have to borrow money on some of them because we make enough money.
My guess is that we're going to need that money either for protection or treatment, and
right.
My guess is protection is going to be much less expensive than treatment, but we could do either. Some people will say, let's just
correct.
Do the treatment at a much higher price. That's what a lot of towns are doing, is throwing
correct.
It out.
And I wish they could.
But we're going to need more money for either of those.
I wish they had stated something obvious, like when you have a surplus,
yeah.
Put it in a savings account for
yeah.
the water department to use at a later date.
That
you know, that would be perfect. But
isn't that the stabilization fund?
But the stabilization fund is fully funded by the meter.
Yeah.
But let me,
we have to do that at district meeting.
I don't want to get off track. That was
yes.
One question. My main points are the numbers. I was looking at these numbers, and a good number to use, Metro Boston area has the lowest per capita water consumption in the country now, at around 43 gallons per capita per day, which is pretty damn low.
Per person?
Yeah, and that's been the result of MWRA doing phenomenal work on water conservation.
Yeah.
To the point where they felt they've gone so far that they're hurting for revenues now, but nonetheless, they've got it. That's a good point of reference.
Okay? Right.
The state of Massachusetts recommends 65 gallons per day is a good.
Yep.
You know, don't go beyond that. So Boston's doing better than that, but 65 is the other number. But if I use, what I did is, I always have trouble with these numbers, 20,000 gallons per year. I converted those to gallons per day. So the first one, just to kind of reference these out, 20,000 gallons per year is about 54 gallons per day. And the next tier, 40,000, is about double that, 108 gallons per day. And the third one up to 60,000 is 162 gallons per day. So those are all, you know, low within that. Because we have to do is you multiply times per capita, right? So if you use, let's just say 50 to keep it easy, 50 gallons per capita per day would be a really low rate. And if you have three people per house, that's 150 gallons per day per house, which it would put us, which is pretty close to that 60,000 threshold.
Right.
Okay, so I draw a line there. And to me, if you assume three people per house, now the occupancy in Katua is probably more like 2.4 people per house.
Correct.
So it's probably a little lower than that. But those, I kind of, to your point, Mark, I think I agree. I'm not sure I'd call out the 20,000 much different than the 40,000 or the 60,000 is my point. And then the other question I have for all of us is, to make this super fair, you really want to tie it to occupancy rates at home. Because if a home, somebody has five kids there, and you want to be fair,
right.
and they're doing a super job conserving, they're going to be
yeah.
at the 60 or over. And I don't know how we handle that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to kind of throw those numbers in. So I guess what I come away from is I'll support the proposal if that's the best one for sure. But I'm wondering if we could capture more of those first three categories. Not maybe make it free, but make it really low. Because I wanted to agree with a little bit whoever that person said. There's a lot of people in town that have a lot of money. They're going to be getting free water, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's kind of a missed opportunity on our part. I mean, people pay at a minimal rate. I would maybe favor if there's a way to tie this to income and give people a break. You don't want to do that?
No. It's too complicated.
too complicated.
I've read these studies.
Okay.
They do means testing. You have to supply,
right.
You know, tax returns. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's a lot of work.
I guess I would just maybe.
I thought of what you're talking about, Scott,
yeah.
And adjusting all the
yeah.
tiers
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I said, let's just make a simple statement to start.
It's
know,
a good one.
Next year
yeah.
we could
yeah.
change it again.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the flexibility to change the rates every year if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear you. I like the message. I like the message a lot.
But so I think just starting simple, we need to have some kind of a public hearing. We'll get some word out. See who shows up.
I think first you got to bring it to the convention.
So, I don't disagree with what you're saying, and, but I think we should keep it simple and do it as a test. You know, you said that MWRA is worried about revenues now because they've conserved so much water. We've heard that at our hearings here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim brought it up at one meeting. You're concerned about the rates so much they aren't going to make any money. So let's see it in practice for a year. Again, we haven't seen the impact yet of the rate increases on consumption. We still think it's related to rainfall as opposed to rate.
It's a hard thing to do right now, especially when we went into a drought like that. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as the first, I mean, we've messed with rates the last 3 years in a row, basically, or?
Yep.
July 2019 and
June 2022. So,
twice
in the last...
June, July, and August was lower than 2 years ago. Right? Black one?
Yeah, but we think it's more related to
rainfall.
Well, remember, this big one, that was the pandemic spike.
Right.
More people here.
Right. I mean, I'm totally in favor of shifting more of the cost to the larger water producers. I mean, I think that makes sense. So, I mean, I like the direction.
So, this is what's current.
Yes.
So
this
is
right
the proposed
here.
One.
So the higher one can go from 15 to...
I mean, 20,000 does sound kind of... Who cares, $80?
Well,
my whole water bill is a lot much more than $80.
You're just looking for free water.
I'm going to send a check every year for that missing $80 from my house, so I'm not seen as a hypocrite. I'm just doing this for now. And that can go on the record. But I just think that it's symbolic, but it also is if we're using it as a justification to have the upper tier water users subsidize this boon, then, you know, so be it. That's in line with a lot of these studies which I've quoted.
Well, I guess the only other suggestion I would have is because I understand what you did, John, you have projections to make up the water, but these probably don't take into account the fact that maybe some people might, when they see the prices going up and up and up, might in fact start.
And then we could adjust it.
But, well, I was going to say, why not make these even a little bit higher? Cover that. Why not?
We don't need more money. This is revenue neutral. We got plenty of money.
And we can't make more.
It would be in trouble.
Because we don't have a clear path to track
that
it's going into the water department.
Right, but I think the goal is not to make more money, but to get people to pump less, right? And what we're saying is the rates so far, we haven't hit the point to discourage.
Right, but I think you have to do that gradually.
We know.
Like I'm going to tell you something. Just so you guys know, this might not show it, but the phone calls we get do show that the rate increases are affecting people. I mean, we have more, our read every month list has gone up from, it used to be one person we read a month, now there's probably 10 to 15.
But they're not in these highest tiers. Well,
they are, that's the problem. They're like, my bill can't be this high. There's no way I'm using this much water. And we have to go out and prove to them this is in the summertime when you're using it. This is when this is. This is when it is. So we have to go over there and say, yes, and we monitor them monthly just to help prove out, to help everybody out. But we do get plenty of phone calls going, there is no way that my bill can be this high. There's no way.
Do you ask them if they have an irrigation system?
Yep. We ask them that, and they could say, yep, and I've had my company here, and we've turned it down so that it does half the water that we used to. Half the water costs more than it used to now than your full water that you used to have.
Well, that's good, right?
That's what we want. Well,
my line isn't as big as my neighbor's. How much does my neighbor use?
Right, right.
Well, this is good. You get the phone calls.
Oh.
I mean, it shows that people
really?
Are concerned.
Really? Can I put your number down instead of ours?
But this is the point. I don't think we know yet
right.
whether our recent rate increases are driving conservation. I think we'll know a little bit. I mean, we've seen the trending go down here. Was that because of the levels of the drought and all the signage and notifications? We won't know that.
Yeah,
when we do the readings in January, we'll have a better indication of what the actual. We know what we've pumped out of the ground. What's gone through the meters.
I think the message is. I like the message.
We're not going to vote on this tonight. I don't think we'll vote on it until probably February, March. It needs to be in place to help set the budget, I suppose. And certainly the fiscal year starts in June or July. So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what... We're going to make enough money to cover the budget, cover our budget for sure. No, I believe unless we decide to put something huge in this year that is mandated all of a sudden. But at the current rate we have, I hate to say it, without putting these higher rates on, and if you say, you know what, first 20,000 everybody's going to get for free, that we'd probably still make enough money on just to cover our expenses.
Right. We're talking about 180.
Yeah.
If we don't have to make it up, we have less excess revenue.
Right. And that's what it'll get down to. It's at the point where, how do we want to do it? Last time, I think we put, how much, 1.4 last year, 1.7?
Revenue.
Yeah. So, we're up, our budget is...
I would also recommend watching the last special committee meeting if you haven't. They have the tax hearing.
They
capped it. I think it's 855. That was the old rate of 60,000.
If people come in and say, "Why is it only 20,000? Why is it 40,000 or 60,000?" There's a groundswell of support for that.
Yeah.
Well,
it ought to be tied to excess revenue. Whatever we're making in excess of what we spend in the department.
Thinking forward about treatment or source protection. If we we go to treatment, it's going to be $10 million for the treatment plant and $1 million a year to run it. That's for the carbon.
Well, closer to $20 million now. It's year it's going up more and more. Yeah.
The source water protection, who knows, but if we replace 20 or 30 septics, if they are the source, a couple, $3 million, maybe that cost comes out of our budget. I mean, the treatment side, it costs to come out of our budget, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't the source protect water protection money?
If we put it into a special appropriation,
yeah,
they'll try to do something like that where instead of borrowing the money,
yeah,
they can use that money that's out there to help pay it off.
So
the problem is they have to get certified. It has to be last year's funds,
yeah,
that pay for this year.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
I just think we should educate the Prudential Committee and maybe the people that there's going to be more money involved in running the water department one way or the other, either with treatment or source water protection. We think we can save some money by going the source water protection method, but either way, so these excess funds are probably not excess.
Well, but they're not being captured, so maybe we
right.
need to change the bylaw for the stabilization fund to say the meter fee and 10% of the annual excess revenue of the source. Because build that up, it's only being built up by $100,000 a year now. It should be.
Right.
It should be half of that.
This would be basically a revenue neutral proposal.
This one, yeah.
And I, like Scott, support it.
But we could
concept. I like.
We could just not try to make it revenue neutral. We could just say we're going to voluntarily lose $183,000 a year because we don't need that much. And not increase the higher tiers. We could say that, or we could.
I don't mind raising. As long as the culture that we have here, the community that we have here, doesn't get impacted by this. In other words, the golf course, the local farms, right, the restaurants don't get hit.
So maybe we, instead of having them apply for a... Well, no, they don't have to apply. They're not getting these upper tiers now. That's what Jeff's telling us, that we already did that.
So
I don't know if you
want to
take a peek at that at some point.
But they
a little more of what I'm saying.
We stated in there that they needed to apply.
So maybe we need to be more proactive and reach out to them and tell them.
No, but I have the very obvious
groceries.
Katua Grocery, the Kettle Ho, Bellagio, I think
those
are the
three.
So the golf course is not. They do not on there. They have two different lines there. One is for irrigation.
Yeah, that's good.
And one is for the building. The building does not exceed the $60,000.
Right.
So it wouldn't even affect
them. So it wouldn't affect them.
Right.
Yeah.
So
the irrigation.
Right. They're talking about putting a well in over there, too, because there was an old well. I think they discontinued it when they put it in, put the other sprinkler system in. Yeah, underneath, yeah. Yeah. So it's right. They used to have it. It was used to be right there underneath the deck, even. Yeah. So I don't know what they have there now. Whether they can refire it up and everything, but they were having so much trouble keeping it going. That was the problem. They were like, "Well, it's cheap enough."
Yeah. What about Rushy Marsh Farm? They provide some, but they don't care.
They haven't applied. I'll tell you what, I'll sign language when he's going by in his helicopter next summer to come over.
So we're going to put this on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah.
That was a good, I like it.
Great work. Good
talk. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you and thank Jeff.
I know, and I want to just leave it as is? Do you want to tinker? Do you want to, so that we can tinker next time and then have a public hearing, you know, maybe a couple times, January, February, or something.
Put it on the agenda and look at it, something, yeah.
Do we want to take it through Prudential first? Before we have a public hearing?
Yeah. Well, let's give ourselves another
meeting.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
And then maybe in January we'll see what the government does.
Okay.
Before they get too busy with budget.
Yeah, that's going to play into their budget.
That's just for you to take a peek at. It's under duties of and everything about the whole surplus and everything else.
What we're doing,
right.
Maybe we try to roll it into.
Well, that's what it says on there.
Stabilization fund.
Right.
And they do have a stabilization fund for the district.
Yes, for the district. They have a stabilization fund for the district, and the water department has its own meter stabilization fund.
Not all the free cash goes into that thing.
No, no. Free cash goes into the
article.
The free into the treasury.
The general fund.
Yeah, general fund.
But they do have a stabilization
fund. And they have to put money in the stabilization fund every year at in an article, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's your homework, that's all. Yeah. Well, just if you look at the last page, that gets me. I put bold printing for people like me.
Nice large font.
Yeah, so I can see it. Yeah, but it does say on there that don't look it over and reading backwards or anything else. That if you have a surplus, you're supposed to look at funds again and say, you know what, maybe it's time to decrease. That's what I was saying about the
Just to be clear, maybe I made it too simple. I did ask Jen, but you know, these people at the highest tier, do they call it a complaint? She said no. You're telling me that it's more the middle people who are complaining.
Correct.
And that gets to your 60,000. Right?
Between the 60,
between the 100 and 200 tier.
Yeah, because they're the ones with
the 100 to 200.
Yeah, they use, that's like they're doing a lot of irrigation.
So that's a lot of people. That's a lot.
But that's,
that's 300, more than 300 gallons per day, which is, if there's three people in the house, they're using 150 gallons per day irrigation. Over an annual basis in the summer, it's huge. So there, these people are using a ton of irrigation water. So when they're telling, they're having people tweak it, but they need to tweak it with all caps.
Yeah, there's some people there that I could care less about, but I've gone over to help them, spent the entire day over trying to find a leak, showing them let's run each zone and watching it run and timing it down there, having somebody talking on the phone. How much is going there? Well, it's in this new zone that you put in. You know, you got to get them heads changed. You got to do that. Okay, yep. And they sit down, they write down everything that does and everything. Next year comes up and they call up. You know, we never did anything. And I'm getting that bill. It is just as high. You want to come over? I'm like, no, I'm not coming over. And the person just comes in and I'm sitting there like, oh, this poor guy, he's got a $9,000 water bill.
Chris,
you know, and what's going to happen? He's got a $9,000 water bill. Seven.
Chris,
it would have been seven at the time.
They shouldn't be calling
and
you.
And she just says, oh, they just paid it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Saying, hey, our irrigation system using a lot of water. I remember when I first started the irrigation thing, I interviewed those two guys from, and what they told me, I'll never forget it, was even using the best smart stuff and all, tweak the thing out, you'll save 20%.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I thought it would cut it in half or 80. So they were basically saying, essentially what they were saying is this stuff kind of sounds good. It's a little bit of greenwashing.
Yeah.
Like we have a smart rain guard system, whatever. 20%. They're still using a lot of water. I mean, there's no way around it.
I have a friend that does his only watering is right here. As soon as it comes on, he gets an alert. Boom. Turn it off. I don't need it if it happens or anything like that. Everything's through his phone.
So the other point I wanted to make just that we consider in the, with the Kittuwa Meadows development, how it is, how much of that has to be affordable housing.
Right.
They have a regulation that says they're
homeowners,
from,
yeah.
You know, single homeowners in there or single parent families who have the same irrigation company come and turn their system on and off and winch drive it, and they don't set the irrigation company.
Right.
I told them to turn it down. Well, we did running.
Right. Hey, we put out this. Right. Yeah, we go and put out that level three. You know, you can't do that. We don't. You, there is no. Without you guys dictating anything, that homeowners association still rules over.
Well, again, like I said, you can't.
Right.
You can't tweak this to make it for everybody.
Right.
That's what that affordable single mom is getting $80 back.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say about it.
She's gonna pay more than that in a higher tier.
Yeah.
She needs to figure out how to tweak her own.
But she needs to come in for the financial hardship.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the hardship is I need the money to water my lawn.
Yeah.
Otherwise I can't live here.
Me.
Condo Association won't let me
show you some pictures of Africa.
Do
you know the office of APCC in 6A?
Yes. Landscaping.
So, something said to me this week. Did they abandon that? I said, no, why? What's abandoned? I said, no, that's their native landscape.
Tell Andrew that.
Oh, no, no. I'm not going to tell Andrew
right.
that.
Any other new business?
No other business.
Matters not anticipated. We're not going to go into executive session. That's something that was worked out between myself.
Probably not necessary. I could just tell you that one of the Ray and I tweaked it a tiny bit.
Yeah.
We're not gonna. It would cost us money to add to workforce.
Yeah.
About $200 a year, and we decided not to do that. We thought it was just being redundant on what we already did. So.
As long as it
yep.
works. If it doesn't work out, then we're gonna pay that $200.
Correct.
So next meeting date.
I wanted to mention that January I'm going to be traveling for 3 weeks, so I'm wondering if we want to go back to some Zoom meetings in the winter. It's an option, which in which case I could participate. I think we talked maybe about that a while back. I can't remember.
Yeah, we did. We just said, we said we don't want to do a hybrid, but
yeah,
Zoom could work.
I think in winter time we'd save some money heating this building too, bringing it up in January, February. So that was the other, along with the December meet, I'm open.
I didn't get a lot of participation.
No. So maybe we take the first couple of meetings in January as Zooms, January, February, first couple of meetings in the new year.
Do you want to meet in December here?
I'm fine with that.
Off?
Yeah, that's fine.
Here?
Yeah.
And then we'll go to Zooms for January, February, March.
Yep, yep.
I will say that in December, I will not be here on the 3rd. On vacation that week. I know Jen, you're on vacation the following week.
So the 3rd is the
14th. The third Wednesday, I'm sorry. Which is what we usually would need. So I won't be here on the 21st. The week of the 21st.
The 14th would be a normal time, right?
What's that?
21st would be our normal time.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
Are you on vacation the 20th?
Yeah, I'm going to be all week, I'll be gone.
The 13th or the
13th I can't do, but they can the 14th.
The 14th would be a Wednesday, yeah. Us again about going maybe Zoom for the following month.
Yeah, we'll go
so.
Zoom for January, February anyways.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
See everybody. everybody a little eat